Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is the text. 2 weeks ago, we heard in our Old Testament reading how Abraham and Sarah had each laughed at God's promise to give them a son in their old age. This week in our Old Testament reading, we hear about an earlier episode where the promise of the son was made. And Abram, as he was known before God changed his name to Abraham, believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. From the first words, starting in Genesis chapter 12, when we hear of Abram, he had faith. He had faith that the Lord would give him the land of Canaan as an inheritance. He was 75 years old when the Lord came to him when he lived in the land of Haran. And he took him out of that land to a place he had never been before. And he went in faith. And he sojourned in that land the rest of his life for over 100 years. He did not inherit it. His descendants would inherit it about 500 years later. But in faith, he trusted the word of the Lord. And he had reason to do so. He had a firm foundation on which his faith had been built. And when the Lord first came to him, he had faith that he and Sarah would have a son. Even though we heard in our Old Testament reading, he was concerned. It had been some time since he had been called out of the land of Haran, and he assumed that Eliezer of Damascus would end up being his heir. But the Lord assured him, "You will have a son with Sarah." And back in Genesis chapter 15, he believed. He had faith. And it was credited to him as righteousness. Faith is an amazing thing. Yet you continue reading, and what we heard in our Old Testament reading a couple weeks ago, you get into chapters 17 and 18 in Genesis, and Abraham's faith was challenged. He and Sarah actually laughed when the Lord returned again, some 24 years after he first had brought him out of the land of Haran, Abraham being 99 years old, and says, "When I come back next year, you will have a son." He had laughed at this. Sarah laughed at this because it didn't seem possible. It seemed like it had been too long. And God wasn't going to fulfill his promise. Yet, the Lord instills in him faith. Trust in something that you have not seen. Trust in something that you don't fully understand, because Sarah was past the age of childbearing at this point. You've probably heard me say it before. We only believe the things about God that we can understand in our minds. Then the God that we believe in can only be as smart or complex as we are. We rejoice that God is far beyond my mental capabilities. We would all be in a great deal of trouble. Well, in the letter to the Hebrews, the ancient people of the Old Testament were commended for having conviction, for being certain of the things which they did not see. As we saw a couple weeks ago with Abraham and Sarah, it did take several announcements of God's promise late in those later years before Abraham wholeheartedly believed God's word that he and Sarah would have a son in their old age. They had laughed at the idea. We were often that way. We grow impatient we like things to make sense. We like things to be done in the time frame that we would like them done in. We like to see it with our own eyes before we're ready to believe it. We like to understand how everything works. But the reality is, you can't live your life only believing something when you have seen it. Just like we don't want a God that we can fully understand, because then he wouldn't really be that great. We also don't want to live a life only believing the things that we have seen with our own eyes. This concept I brought up a couple weeks ago. If you would only believe something if you have seen it with your own eyes, you would all be hoarding food in your house, because you would fear that you may never be able to buy food again. Why? Well, how do we know that there's food at the Hy-Vee or at County Market? How do we know that we could go to the grocery store and purchase our food? I haven't been there today. I haven't seen it. Well, you open up your newspaper this morning, there's advertisements. They're claiming we have food there. We have real food for you to come and eat that you can take home. History tells us that there is an ample amount of food there. You have good reason to have trust and confidence, because the history of that is strong, and the promise that has been made is strong. You have a firm foundation on which you place your faith that you can walk into Hy-Vee and you will find real food. The letter to the Hebrews says it is only by faith that we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. There was no one there to witness it other than God, as he spoke the universe into existence and said, "Let there be light," among other things. So we have to trust in his word that he has given. We have faith in what is unseen. We have faith in the history that he has handed down to us. Thanks be to God that he has given us a firm foundation on which to place our faith. And the really good thing in recent years is that the actual science, the real science of you know, cosmology, how things were created, it goes along with what the Bible says. Along with the archaeological discoveries. And you know, so, but that's not where we have our faith. Our faith is in the Word of God. And the Word of our Lord says that through him all things were made that have been made. We witness other mysteries of faith all the time, especially in the sacramental life of the church. This morning, at this altar, you will partake in the miraculous union of bread, wine, body, and blood. I can't explain the mechanics exactly of how this bread and wine is the flesh and blood of the Son of God, the very Son of God who spoke the universe into existence, who said, "Let there be light." All I know is that the Word of God is joined to the visible element. It is beyond my understanding. But Jesus says, "This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you." You have a firm foundation on which to place your faith, that when you walk up to the Lord's table, you will find real food. Jesus says, "My flesh is real food. My blood is real drink." We're introduced into the church through a miracle of faith. When a child is brought to the baptismal font, what happens that we actually see with our eyes? The only thing we see with our eyes is the kid's head gets wet. What is the reason for baptism? Are our heads dirty? Or is baptism some ritualistic, symbolic initiation ritual? It's the hoop you have to jump through so you can join our congregation? That's a really low view of baptism. Entering Christ's church through baptism, it's not like eating the goldfish to get into the college fraternity. There is something much deeper that is going on. The Word of God is joined with that water, and we are made new. Scripture says our old Adam drowns and dies. Paul tells us that we are crucified with Christ, buried with Christ in our baptism, and raised to a new life in Christ in our baptism. We are set apart by God because of the faith that is created there. We're set apart because by the grace of God, through that faith, God has forgiven the sin of our repentant hearts. It is the faith that we receive there in baptism, nourished at the altar, fed through the hearing of God's word. This is what makes the difference in our lives. We see child's head get wet. We see bread and wine. But the rest of it requires the eyes of faith for us to be certain of what we do not see. As a true child, our Father has now reserved a place for you in His eternal kingdom, and He has given you His name, adopted you, sealed you with His name. You carry it with you wherever you go, as you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You won't put that on any of the official documents that you sign. It won't be seen with these eyes. But every Saturday evening and Sunday morning when we join together here for worship, we are reminded of our baptism. As we invoke the name of God and we begin our worship in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everything that we do here within our worship is founded on the faith of our baptism. It is our faith in Christ's sacrifice for the guilt of our sin. It is our faith in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. This faith has changed you, made you different from who you were before. It has separated you and set you apart from the rest of the world. We're like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers, wanderers in a strange land, waiting for the promised land to be given to them. Temporary world. It was a foreign place to them. They were certain that their home with God would be eternal. It remained unseen to them during their earthly life. We, as God's true children, were also strangers in this world. We're like Abraham wandering through the land of the Canaanites. And you don't have to look too far to see that Sodom and Gomorrah are just down the hill. And we wait patiently to receive our eternal inheritance. Baptism is the beginning of that journey. God feeds us and strengthens us on the way through His Word, through His Son's very body and blood. And like all the saints who have gone before us, we journey through this valley of the shadow of death, waiting patiently, in faith, to receive our eternal inheritance, which our Father has prepared for each of us, He says, before the dawn of time. For all of this, we look to our Lord, being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. Amen.